Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. Pastor Mark here at Christian Service Center in an empty room, except for two people back there helping me out, Guy and Denise. I want to welcome everyone to this Wednesday evening streaming service, Wednesday night class. As you can tell, I don't have a green screen behind me, so we will not be doing New Life Principles at this time. It is postponed. As you can tell, there's a change, and we sent out a letter today about this change. It was in your prayer email. It has also gone out by way of post office, but I'm going to read this letter to you this evening. From the desk of Pastor Mark, Christian Service Center, St. Petersburg, Florida. This is the CSC ministry update concerning COVID-19 or the coronavirus. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. During this time, this is a passage of scripture that we all need to hold to and something that we need to make sure that our faith is based on and grounded in. Okay, let me finish reading this. I read a scripture and I want to start sharing. So, okay, the rest of this letter says, we here at the Christian Service Center, after prayer and counsel, have made the decision to follow the presidential, CDC, Florida Department of Health, and local city guidelines of the 15 days to slow the spread of the COVID-19 or coronavirus. How does this affect you? As of today, Wednesday, March 18th, to Tuesday, March 31st, there will be no meetings here at CSC. There will be live stream on the cscenters.org website. Now, for most of you, if you're watching it, you've already got there. You may need to help someone find this website. And I believe it's on the main page, and it says live stream. You just click on it, and you start watching. And the two services that we will be doing will be like tonight, Wednesday, 7 p.m., and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. The church office hours will be Monday through Wednesday. Listen to this. Monday through Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. So if you need to call the church office, make sure you do it between those hours, Monday through Wednesday. We are also looking into online giving. There are a lot of different organizations out there. I'm trying to find the one that will best fit us. So details coming soon. Number 5, tentatively, we will come back together on Wednesday, April 1st at 7 p.m. So this is just specifically for a 15-day period. And if there are no, as it says here, unless inside gathering restrictions are extended. That may be a possibility. It may happen. We're praying and hoping that it doesn't happen. We're hoping that we're going to be able to come back together Wednesday, April 1st, 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary and just have a time of thank you, Jesus, and rejoicing and getting on what God has for us to do here at CSC. 6, as of now, updates will be sent through prayer emails, CSC Facebook. Most of you don't even know that we have a Facebook account. Our precious sister Tiffany Sapp, I believe, has posted this letter here, and I believe she has posted the letter on our Facebook page. Or you can go to our CSC website, which I am still figuring out how to post for me to edit our web page to get updates placed on our page. So just be patient with me as I figure out how to edit our website. And if need be, we'll make phone calls as we did today to some of you. Number 7, as believers in Jesus, pray and believe God for a quick and final end of this coronavirus in Jesus' name. Now, wherever you're at, you can just say amen. I can't hear you, but just give a big amen to the quick and final end of coronavirus. Amen? Amen. Okay, number 8. Hold on to God's word and promises for health, healing, faith, hope, love, comfort, and peace. I wrote all these in here because there are people in different aspects of life, even Christians. Some are going to need prayer for healing. Some are going to need their faith built up. Some are just going to need a word of hope from the God of all hope. Some just need to be loved on. Others are going to need comfort and peace. So as part of the family of God in Jesus Christ, those of us that are growing in our faith, God wants to use our lives to impact other people's lives. And hopefully we're going to look at this tonight also. And number 9, we all need to be doing what? Looking to Jesus as Lord and King over all. Hallelujah. Keep in the love of God, Pastor Mark. And I put 2 scriptures down there that I love, which is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so 2 passages there for us to end this letter and look at what I believe that God has placed upon my heart to share with you here this evening. So Father God, we thank you right now for our gathering in our homes, or if somebody is out somewhere and they're looking at their smartphone, we just thank you, Father, for the ability, this wonderful technology, that we have this ability to gather and watch a live streaming service when we're not able to come together, but we can come together. So basically, we are coming together through a digital media of live streaming. And so right now, we are all in one mind and one accord. And so we are just so grateful, Father, for this type of technology that we can come together and hear from you and be encouraged in our walk, in our relationship with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this letter that went out today, there has been a lot of things that I have been doing and researching, and actually got a phone call today from one of the local leaders, text messaging. And so we are just wanting to make sure, as a faith-based community here, a community that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we want to make sure that we're doing our part also in helping prevent the spread of this. And so we have agreed with the mandate set forth for the next 15 days to follow and do what they've asked people to do, especially with inside gatherings, as a church would be. So this has gone out. You'll be receiving it in the letter if you haven't already read it also. I did receive a phone call today. There is going to be a pastor's conference call for pastors in the state of Florida tomorrow. And Senator Marco Rubio wants to encourage pastors during this time about what they can do as a church, as the Church of Jesus Christ, during this time. So I will be joining a conference phone call with pastors all over Florida and to hear what our Senator Marco Rubio has to say concerning this and giving us some updates for churches, for pastors to pass on to their congregation. So I look forward to that conference call tomorrow morning. Now, if you were here Sunday, I did pass out this KissFit booklet, which I am still working on to put on our website. Like I said, I'm still trying to figure out how to put certain things on, like PDFs, on our website. And there will be a couple things I'll be going over this evening that is in this KissFit handout that I gave Sunday. I do have a passage here. It says Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, on this handout. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe that during this time, I even have it outside on our church sign, looking unto Jesus. This is where your focus needs to be. You need to look at the one who came and lived life as we lived life and experienced everything that we experience and took upon himself every sin, every sickness, every disease, every calamity, every trauma, Whatever is common to the human experience, Jesus himself bore on our behalf. And during this time, it is very important as believers in Jesus for you to look unto Jesus, to look unto the Word of God, to see what God's Word has to say, to see what the promises of God are, and begin building your faith more than it is right now. And especially if there's anybody watching me right now that is worried, fearful, afraid, stressed out, the only way to remedy this is to get the Word of God living and abiding on the inside of you. Turn off the media. If you're watching too much of the news, turn it off. Get in the Word of God until that Word of God gets into you, transforms you on the inside, renews your mind according to what God has for your life, so that you can truly, by faith and in a real living way, look unto Jesus, the author of your faith. What he started, he's going to finish. So let's look at the one who started something in you, and he's going to finish it in you. There's a passage of Scripture that as I was praying this afternoon and seeking the Lord, matter of fact, it came to me after I was done writing some notes down here. It's from Joshua chapter 1. And I believe that verses 7, 8, and 9, we all need to take heed and listen to. The same type of exhortation that God gave Joshua is an exhortation that would do us well to listen to and heed. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. And it goes on here to tell us why. That you may prosper wherever you go. And this word here, when it talks about prosper in verse 7, it's referring to know how to act wisely, to know how to make the right choices and the right decisions when you're facing something that you're not used to facing. And I believe this type of counsel is so important for us right now. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Whether it was here in the Old Testament, the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Apostle Paul, James, Peter, Jude, John, we have to realize that God's Word endures forever. It says, it talks about in Isaiah 40 that this body is going to grow old and die. Just like a flower, it comes up for a little bit of a season, it withers and it dies. But it says the Word of God, the Word of the Lord will endure forever. So we need to find an enduring Word. We need to find a truth that God has for our lives and to meditate on it, to think on it, to ingest it, to have it so impact our thinking, so impact the way that we're seeing, especially the situation right now, that we view everything from the Word of God, and we are given the promise of God. If we don't turn to the left, and if we don't turn to the right, if we keep our eyes just focused on the promises of God, the teachings of God, the truths that he would have us embrace, it says that we will be prosperous. And this word prosperous speaks about we will continue to advance forward. We will continue to progress in our walk in life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that we will also break forth. So if there's something happening within your life, a fear, a phobia, a concern, or what's going to happen, it says that you will be able to break forth from that into a place of faith, into a place of peace, into a place of trusting God, or trusting God as your Heavenly Father, the God of all hope. And so having this type of an understanding, God wanted to make sure that he was instilling into Joshua, you're going to be crossing over the Jordan, you are going to be entering into the promised land, and you know what's there. You were one of the 12 original spies, you know the fortified cities, you know about the giants, you know about their large armies, you know how big and formidable the enemy is. Well, we're finding out just how big and formidable this enemy is. But in God's hands, everything is defeated. And that's why you need to have the Word of God living and abiding on the inside of you, so that when you hear about the impact of this coronavirus, that you're able to say, that is not too big with me and God to overcome and conquer. And God wants to have, wants you, each and every one of you, to have a victorious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? There's a question that God asks, and he gives the response to this question. Have I not commanded you? Well, what did he command Joshua? This is the third time that he's going to say it. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Why? I put the word why in there. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Some of you need to hear that word right now. I really believe that God spoke this to me as I was finishing up this afternoon and before coming over here. Number one, there's a strength. There is a courage. There is this ability that God wants you to be able to prevail. This word, be strong, talks about being able to prevail when others aren't prevailing, being able to move forward when others aren't moving forward or they're stuck, being able to grab hold of a truth that God has for you and able to hold on to it and never let it go. And this courageous here, or be courageous, it speaks about being alert on your feet, being able to respond the way that God wants you to respond. In the New Testament, it would probably be that you know that you are a child of God and therefore you're led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, you're able to get promptings and leadings by the Holy Spirit and obey that leading of the Holy Spirit, whatever the Lord may speak to you at that moment. This is just so wonderful what he has for us. And with that, it says that we will be able to make progress. We will be able to go forth mightily. We will be able to advance in the way that God wants us to advance. So we will be able to be swift on our feet. And God said here that as the result of that, we do not have to be afraid. You are under God's care. You're under God's provision. As believers in Jesus, we are under that wonderful fountain. We are under that wonderful blood. We are covered by God. As it says, and I believe it's in Revelation chapter 10. Actually, it's Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, and they overcame him. And each and every one of us have the ability to overcome the devil. We have the ability to overcome viruses. We have the ability to overcome what it says right here. We have the ability to overcome fear. Fear in any form, anything that is bringing a stress or an anxiety within your life, we have the ability to overcome it. It was never God's intention for us to experience it. Therefore, we say it is of the devil or it came from the devil. And so as a result of knowing that the Word of God does tell us, I'm going to go ahead and quote that Revelation 12:10. It speaks about that there is a voice. There's a voice that is speaking, and it's speaking very loudly, and it's coming from the heavenly realm. And you need to hear this voice that's coming from the heavenly realm in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And it says that there is a very presentness of Jesus' salvation. It says, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. See, you see the progression here. It talks about what Jesus Christ has secured for us, now salvation. When it speaks of now salvation, everything that Jesus Christ has secured on behalf of every one of us as believers in Jesus is available to us. But it's just not available to us in knowledge. But it says the next word here says strength. And that is the Greek word dunamis, which is actually the word power. So the very thing that Jesus Christ has secured, or all the things that Jesus Christ has secured, that God has said that it is part of our inheritance as becoming a child of God, it is just not a knowledge of it, but it comes to us in power. And that word power is always connected with the Holy Spirit. And we have to realize that the Holy Spirit is going to give us or reveal to us a revelation knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done so that we can experience it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is that going to also do? It says that there's going to be an access that's given to us, that we now have an access to the kingdom of our God, the kingdom of our God. And so we realize that there are things going on in this earthly realm, or the kingdoms of this earth, or what's taking place here on this planet. But we have an access to God's kingdom and God's provision where God is at, at any time. And so what Jesus Christ has secured for us in the power of the Holy Spirit and all the resources of heaven are available to us. And that last word there, when it speaks about the power of his Christ, that word power there is the Greek word exousia, or the authority of his Christ. And you have to realize that now as a believer in Jesus, that you are to be exercising the very authority of Jesus the Christ. You have the ability to speak to a fear. You have the ability to speak to timidity. You have the ability to speak to something that may be trying to attack your life or attack your mind or attack your feelings right now, because there's an authority that you've been given. As a matter of fact, it's the very authority of Jesus himself. And the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said after his resurrection, all power or all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the very authority that Jesus Christ himself exercises is the very authority that we possess in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would do you good to know what the Word of God says and begin exercising your authority in Jesus Christ with the promises of God believed in your heart and released from your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, going back to that verse in Revelation chapter 10, verse 11 now, it goes on and tells us that we now, these truths that I just spoke about in verse 10, we now can exercise these truths over the devil in verse 11. And they overcame him, the devil, because it's referred to in the verses like 9. It talks about this person, him, who that him is, it's the devil. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How do you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Are you a believer in Jesus today? If you're a believer in Jesus today, then you know what the blood of Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. Number one, the blood of Jesus Christ has given us remission, forgiveness, the pardon, the release, and the liberty and freedom from all sins in Jesus Christ and their power over us. That has been broken in your life. What else has the blood of Jesus Christ done for us? It has caused us to become children of God, receiving the very life, nature, and character of God within our lives. What else has the blood of Jesus Christ given to us? Complete access to all of Jesus' salvation. The verse before this, all of Jesus' salvation, all the power of the Holy Spirit, all the resources of the kingdom of heaven, and to exercise the authority of Jesus in his name, in our life, through the Word of God. This is how we overcome the devil. And it goes on to say here in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you have a word of testimony today? Do you have a living word of God for your life today concerning the circumstance and situation? Is there a promise of God that he has spoken to your life that you are grabbing hold of right now? And is that not your testimony? It'd almost be like, oh, wait a second here. In this CrossFit, let me just read a portion of this to you in Psalm 91. You can take a passage of Scripture and have it become the word of your testimony. Let me read to you Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this psalm when it says, I will say of the Lord. See, that's the word of this person's testimony. They are saying of the Lord. What are you saying of the Lord? Do you have this type of faith? Do you have this type of confidence? Do you have this type of assurance within your life? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Listen to how personal this was. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. If you take time and look up this word perilous pestilence, destroying plague. It says this person here had such a faith and such a confidence that God was their place of safety, that God had become their strength and their complete surrounding, their fortress, that God completely surrounded their lives with the very presence of himself, with the very protection of himself. And this person knew that God was his God and that he was going to put his trust or his faith or his confidence in God, not in a deadly plague. Wow. Doesn't that relate to what we're going through here right now, what this world is facing? So you have an ability to come to a place of understanding that it says here in verse 2, surely a confident assurance that God would deliver. He had an understanding that God would bring him to a complete place of safety, security, peace from a destructive plague. You can also have that same place. See, the Word of God says that you're in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you are in a place of refuge. You are in a place of safety. But your faith has to rise to the occasion of a passage like this and realize that it shall not come near me, or it shall not come near you. And once you begin meditating on things, or on truths like this and things like this, that you will have an understanding that fear is going to be rejected, because it tells us in 1 John chapter 5, it says that perfect love, or God's completed love, or the revelation of God's love to your life that is growing and bringing you to a place of completely understanding and grasping it, it says perfect love casts out, throws out fear, because fear has torment. And you have to have this understanding that when you have a revelation of God's love and God's love for you personally, and you think about that love and you keep yourself in the love of God, as it tells us in Jude, keeping yourselves in the love of God. I think that's Jude either verse 20 or verse 21. And it tells you to keep yourself there, to position yourself there, not to leave that place. Well, when you couple what it says in Jude and in 1 John chapter 4, I mean, it's 1 John chapter 4 that says this, that perfect love of God, if there's anything that is going on that is coming to you or residing on the inside of you that is not of God, it says it will cast or throw out that fear. And that should just be something you grab hold of here this evening. And the last part of this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, to have a complete understanding, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So you have an understanding, you have an assurance that no matter where you're journeying, no matter where you're heading during these days of uncertainty in the world, but having a certainty with God that He is with you, that you are His and He is yours, and He has a complete banner of loving protection over your life. And so as we are journeying in our everyday life, and we go to the grocery store, or we're going out, and we come across people that are fearful or stressed out or worried, you are a person of faith, and they are looking for people of faith. They are looking for people that aren't afraid. They're looking for people that aren't fearful or worried or stressed out. They're looking, and they don't even realize it, they're looking for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to give them a word in due season. And God wants to use your life to give a person a word in due season. So I wrote down some things here. What can we do? If you come in contact with a person that's troubled in mind, worried, or fearful, it's time to allow the light of Jesus and His word to shine through you or to come forth from you. So allow the love and peace and confidence of Jesus that is within you to flow out from you by the Holy Spirit to those in need. How can we do this? You're going to allow your firm, secure stand of faith on God's word of promise to issue forth from your mouth. In other words, if a person says, well, why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you worried or stressed out about all of this? It's going to give you an opportunity to testify of what God has done in your life to bring you to this place of peace. And so you're going to share a word of promise from the Word of God to a person in need. You're going to release it as a word of encouragement and edification to the person who has a need. And as a result of doing that, it is going to cause the Holy Spirit to bring a revelation of that truth in their life. And it may even bring you to a place or allow you to come to a place that you can share saving faith with them. You can share how they can become part of the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ came and did, died for on the cross, resurrected the third day, now living at the right hand of the Father, giving you an opportunity to share with that person how they can become part of the family of God, just by sharing with them first and foremost why you're not afraid, why you're not fearful, why you're at complete peace. And so this can be a wonderful time for the Church of Jesus Christ to shine during these troubling times right now. On this KISFIT, I would just like to go over here. I'm going to be reading now from page 7. And on the top of that page, it just simply says, be a believing God people. Be a believing God people. And I'm going to read what it says here. We are standing fast with everyone, believing God for each person's wellness and healing. I hope every one of you can agree with me. That's what we want for everyone, isn't it? We don't want any to perish without the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to go ahead and I have a scripture passage in here. It's Luke 13, 10 to 13, but I'm going to read a little bit beyond that right now. So I'm going to be going over to Luke 13, beginning with verse 10, and I think I'll take it all the way down to 17 here. This is about the woman who came into the synagogue, and she has been bent over for many years, and this is her healing. And this is what Jesus Christ said, and these are what some other people said, and then what Jesus finally said. Verse 10, Luke 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. This is Jesus teaching now. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Now, I took a little time Sunday morning to talk about a spirit of infirmity. It doesn't always have to be a demon spirit. It can be a demon spirit. But also, you have to realize a spirit is something unseen. This room could be full of angels, and we don't see them. You know, the Word of God calls them ministering spirits. And so it's something, it's an infirmity, it's a disease, it's a sickness. It is something that has entered into this lady's life. It could be demonic. It could be biological. We don't know the exact nature of it, but we do know where it came from. It came from the devil. God did not ever put these things out there. It came into the human race as a result of Satan in the form of that serpent going into the Garden of Eden and causing a questioning of who God is and what God has said. And Eve heard what the serpent said and went ahead and ate of that forbidden fruit and gave it to her husband who was with her. And sin entered the human race, and the result of sin has come every sickness and every disease and death, sorrow, pain, and suffering. So we can say it all originated with the devil. But we have an understanding that Jesus Christ came to destroy all the works of the devil. So let's see what was destroyed here. So behold, there was a woman who has a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no wise raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed. You are free. You are unbound from your infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Verse 14, here's some of these people. This is what Jesus did in 10 through 13. Verse 14 is the resistance movement here. You know, like, wow, why'd you have to do it on this day? Listen what these rulers of the synagogue had to say to Jesus. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, not on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus, as Jesus is, he has all wisdom. And listen to this wisdom, how he answers back to this ruler of the synagogue. Then the Lord answered and said to him, hypocrite, actor, fake. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose, untie, free his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound. Think of it for these 18 years. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Now, after hearing this, look what the response was in those that were gathered there in the synagogue, verse 17. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. They were humiliated. They were embarrassed. They were disarmed just by Jesus speaking those words. You know, you can disarm the enemy by speaking a word that God gives you and completely nullifying him, completely taking away any type of defense that he might have against you by knowing a right now word from God that you're able to speak. Look what it goes on here to say. And the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now we have to realize that what Jesus did here for this woman, that he wants to make sure that if any of you are bent over right now, if any of you here listening to me this evening are cringing, you're not standing as tall as you once did, you're not standing as sure in your faith as you once did. The enemy is trying to use this pandemic, this worldwide declaration of this disease, to scare you and to scare all of us and to put us in a place of, oh, what's going to happen next? And is it going to come my way? We have to have an understanding that just as Jesus loosed this woman from her spirit of infirmity, that if you are in a place right now being bent over or hiding, that right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would be loosed, that you would have an understanding that you're under his care, you're under his provision. You do not have to stay in that place. And some of you, it says that this woman was in this condition for 18 years. Maybe this coronavirus is just surfacing something that has been in your life for many years and you didn't realize it. Maybe you've been coming to church for many years, coming in and going out. Jesus said here, she was a daughter of Abraham. In other words, she was a believing one. She was one that had a covenant relationship with God as a daughter of Abraham, or a believing one. And she came in as a believing one in the synagogue and left as a believing one and would come back in as a believing one and would leave as a believing one. How many of us, week after week, month after month, maybe year after year, we come in as a believer in Jesus Christ and still leave with an infirm condition? And so Jesus is just trying to exhort us here that as not just a daughter of Abraham, but we as sons and daughters of the Most High God with a faith in Jesus Christ, that we don't have to settle. You don't have to settle. I don't have to settle for anything that Jesus Christ or Father God never meant for us to experience or keep. And I really believe that the Lord is speaking to someone here right now, that there's something that's been going on in your life for a very long time, and this coronavirus has just allowed it to surface. And because it's surfacing right now, God wants you to realize and recognize what it is and say, you know what? I've put up with this too long. I am not going to put up with this a minute longer. That just as this woman was freed from her spirit of infirmity, so I declare right now that I am free from this thing, whatever it might be. I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal it to you right now. And to realize that which is from the devil or of the devil has no right to plague your life as a believer in Jesus. You can submit yourself to this truth here right now. Say, I'm going to submit myself to what Jesus Christ himself did in this woman's life as a freedom for my life. I'm going to submit myself to the word of God. I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to resist now, openly resist that which I have not been resisting. Or because of this coronavirus, it has surfaced. It's been going on for far too long, and I'm done with it right now. Be gone in Jesus' name. And you, having the same type of tenacity, the very tenacity of Jesus dwells within you. And as Jesus spoke to this woman, you can speak to yourself. And you go ahead and use that word of God right now, because it tells us in James, if you submit to God, resist the devil, The Word of God says he will flee from you. And this infirm thing that has been keeping you down week after week, month after month, year after year, it's time for you to do something about it. So I can actually glorify God because of this thing that has surfaced in all over this planet right now, because it's causing deep spiritual or emotional things to be surfacing in Christians' lives all over the world so they can get completely free of it and be that testimonial witness of Jesus Christ right where you're at, right where you live. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. And as I was looking at this and studying this, and we can always remember what it says in Acts 10, verse 38. Peter is at the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, sharing the gospel with him. In verse 36, he's saying, Jesus is Lord of all. And in verse 38 here, he's talking a little bit about Jesus' testimony or what Jesus was doing while he was here on the earth. And it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. How many? Healing all. What did they have? What was going on with them? Who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Once again, we looked at Joshua chapter 1. God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 that he would be with him. God is saying here right now that God was with Jesus. Now my question to you, is God with you? And we all know what that answer is. The answer is yes. So the same God that was with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, giving you now the same ability of any oppression upon your life or upon anybody else's life, you now can be used of God either to get free or to set somebody else free. That's exciting. That's really good news for me. How do I know this to be true? It happened to me. I was bound. God set me free. I am no longer bound. This did not stop with the last apostle. Why do I know this? Because what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8? Hebrews 13, verse 8 speaks about something of Jesus. It says Jesus Christ is what? The same. The same. The same when? Yesterday. The same when? Today. The same when? Forever. And see, that's something that's got to lodge deep with inside of our spirit, that the same Jesus that ministered then is the same Jesus that's ministering now, and the same Jesus who will always be who he is. And we need to grab hold of these truths and apply them to our lives and realize if a person's ever been set free, then you have the legal right to be set free in Jesus Christ also. What he did for one, he'll do for another, because God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah. And this is just, you know, doing this study today and looking at some of these things has really, really excited me. And I would like to read just a portion of Scripture here from Proverbs. I think we need to hear this also because it directs us where to put our trust. In Proverbs chapter 3, I would like to go down to 1 through 10. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. This is just so exciting to know that these passages of Scripture that were spoken so many years ago benefit our lives today. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Look at the promise here of obeying God's word. Look at an Old Testament promise of obeying God's word. And the reason why that we can take an Old Testament promise and bring it into New Covenant or New Testament reality, because the Word of God tells us that we have a new covenant based on better promises. So we can go back and look at an old promise and know there's something better with that promise that God has for our life. Look at the benefit it says here for a person who grabs hold of the Word of God, takes it to heart, and determines by faith to live what it says. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. You know, I don't have to go any further. I don't even have to go down to verse 10 right now. Just these two verses alone tell us the importance of growing in the Word of God, tells us the importance of meditating on the Word of God, tells us the importance of renewing our mind to what God's Word says. Because right now, why are people afraid of getting the coronavirus? Because the fear of all fears is the fear of death. What's going to happen? I may die if I get this. But what does the Bible here say? That when we hold to God's word, when we keep it in our heart, when we meditate on it, when we allow it to flow freely from our lips. It says here that we have a promise from God, length of days, long life, shalom will be added unto you. And that shalom talks about just not God's peace. It talks about God's blessing. It talks about God's favor. It talks about God's ability. Actually, this word shalom, it's referring to all that God is and all that God has is available to you. Wow, if that doesn't give you peace, what will? And so I'm not even going to finish the rest of these verses here. I would just like you on your own to go through verses 3 through 10 and realize these promises here and the guidance given. If you apply them to your life, your faith is going to begin to grow and soar in a direction that you may not have experienced recently. This is just really exciting as I was doing this and reading this and having my own faith arise. But there is something that I do want to make sure that we read before we close out our time here this evening. It's over here in Psalm 103, and I love Psalm 103. I have ministered this psalm in nursing homes, in hospitals, people that are going through a difficult time, because once again, it speaks about a life of faith. It speaks about what we need to be possessing first and foremost. And it says it twice, bless the Lord. It is telling us to invoke the blessing of God, that we are to just go ahead and begin giving God thanks ahead of time, recognizing who He is, acknowledging who He is. It says, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in verse 1, and all that is within me. And when you just stop and just think about all that is within you, it's talking about your mind. It's talking about your feelings. It's talking about your emotions. It's even talking about that place within inside your life. Let's say you have a pain or an ache or something happening within inside your body that by faith you are going to bless God. You're going to acknowledge, you're going to adore God with everything that you have, your mind, your will, your emotions, your body. You're going to give the very expression of your life. It's saying with your spirit, soul, and body, begin to adore, begin to love on, begin to acknowledge who God is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We've been given a name, and that name is Jesus. And it says that the name of Jesus, it's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Just go ahead and take some time and look that up also. Get that passage within your scripture. It tells us that God gave Jesus a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth. Is coronavirus a thing? Then it has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Is fear a thing? Then it's got to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Is worry or excessive care a thing? That can bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And that's what you have to take away from this evening. That no matter where you're at in your faith walk, no matter where you're at spiritually right now, you may be a carnal mess right now, but you don't have to stay there. You can begin applying, you know, by faith right now, I'm just going to begin acknowledging Jesus, the name of Jesus, the superiority of Jesus. I'm going to begin speaking about that He's my Savior and He's my Lord and He's the one who takes care of me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And we can take the very first benefit right here, or God's wellness, or God's goodness that He desires to bestow upon our life, that every one of us in Jesus Christ, we know that our iniquities, it says here, who forgives our iniquities. The reason why I like blessing the Lord like this, because if there's something between me and God, the Holy Spirit is able to bring it to my remembrance, and I'm able to confess it immediately. I'm able to confess it, I'm able to forsake it and obtain the mercy, forgiveness, and favor of God and be restored to that place. And I really believe that we don't ever want to forget this benefit of forgiving our iniquities, because we don't want anything in the way between us and God. Then we can experience the next promise that it says here. Who heals our diseases, who produces a release from that is bringing the dis-ease. Whatever the discomfort is, whatever the sickness, whatever the that which is not of God for our life thing that's going on within us. It says that he will heal, he will rapha us, he will bring us to a place of restoration from all these distressing and grievous things that our life might be facing. And then it says the third one here, who redeems our life from destruction, anything at all that is trying to bring a destructive influence upon your life, it says that he will redeem you or take you away from that, from one place to another. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, so you don't have to stay there. You can go from that place to the place of, like in Ephesians chapter 2 place, being seated with God in heavenly places, that you have a right to the very throne room of God. Listen, I need to just go in there for a moment right here, right now. I just need to get my peace back right here, right now. I've got a seat in God's presence, and I'm just going to begin talking with God and fellowshipping with God right now. And you have the ability to do that by faith. And then it talks about who crowns you, who surrounds you with his loving kindness. And I love this word crowns you, because I think about a crown around a head, or the helmet of salvation, that we get our mind and our thoughts crowned. We get a helmet of salvation. They're keeping the way, the thoughts that we need to be thinking, and how we should be looking at what's going on around us according to the Word of God. And we realize God's loving care is what I'm thinking about, and God's got me in this and throughout the duration of this. God's got me, and he's going to show me his tender mercies, or I can experience his compassion right now. There's a place of compassionate care that my shepherd Jesus Christ wants to let me know, as one of the sheep of God's pasture, that he has loving care for me and everything about my life and about my family, about my neighbors, about those who don't know him yet. They're a stray sheep that are needing to be brought back into the family. God wants to use you in that capacity. And so he's going to give you his word, or he's going to satisfy your mouth with good things. It's just not talking about good food. Yeah, I know. When you go to the stores right now, it seems like they're ripping everything off the shelves. And yes, God said he's going to satisfy you with your daily bread. We know that from Jesus. But he's also going to satisfy your mouth with the things that you should be speaking out of your mouth. He's going to cause the Word of God, the truth, the promises of himself by the Holy Spirit to be brought to your understanding. And after they're brought to your understanding, he wants to satisfy your mouth with the good things, with the good truth of his Word, and release it. And God wants you to be releasing his Word by faith, his promises by faith, out into the atmosphere. Say it out loud so you can hear it, so others can hear it. And so he wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. And as the result of that, what's going to happen? It talks about a renewal of strength, that God is going to cause your vim, vigor, and vitality, and just going to cause you to be renewed. It says so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, or that you're going to go from where you're at right now, and you're going to soar where God wants you to soar. You're going to be where God wants you to be. And having a truth like this within our life, that God wants to take a passage like this that I've just briefly gone over, very, very short, talking about this passage, that you can take a passage like this, and as I put in this little pamphlet here, and I even have a prayer here that goes along with these verses here on page 7, Psalm 103, 1 to 5, and a little prayer here on verse 7, because we need to take God's word and personalize it. We need to take God's word and meditate on it, but we also need to take God's word and pray it. We need to take God's word and declare it. We need to take God's word and intercess it, intercede with it on behalf of somebody else. So listen to this little prayer here that I wrote in this little booklet that we passed out Sunday. And I said, "We bless you, Lord, on," and I had in there, most of you that have it, it says, "on Sandy's behalf." The reason why that, because I had used this passage of Scripture, and I had used this prayer on behalf of our sister in England, that she was not well, and I went ahead and sent this, and I changed it around for our benefit, and I didn't take her name out of there, but you can white out her name, and you can say, we bless you, Lord, on our behalf. Let's go ahead and use our behalf tonight, on behalf of everybody that's listening right now. Father, we thank you for your word, and we know that all your promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Your name be glorified in our life. Don't you want God's name to be glorified in your life during all this? We thank you for all your benefits you have lavished on us. You see our time of need and have already made provision for us. We agree with you, Lord, that we are forgiven in the blood of Jesus. We are healed, being totally restored and redeemed in Jesus from anything that is against us. Jesus is our victor. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited just by reading it. Thank you, Lord. We are one of your beloved crowning jewels, surrounded by all your encompassing love and favor for us. Our mouth is filled with the fullness of yourself and your promises. They come from the inward flow of the river of life by Holy Spirit that quickens our mortal body daily. Amen. As a result of all that you have done, Father, through your Son, Jesus, on our behalf, we believe in our hearts and say with our mouths, our strength and vitality is renewed. We are able to soar with you in the heavenly realm in praise and worship and adoration. We believe these things to be true. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering us in a mighty way. In the mighty name of Jesus, so be it. Begin to bless the Lord. Well, I hope our time this evening has encouraged you and bringing you to a greater level or a greater place of faith in God, because we need it, you need it, your neighbors need it, your family needs it. They need to see people that are strong in faith, trusting and believing the Lord. So this is the end of our first Wednesday night gathering from live stream, not having anybody else in here. And I just want to thank you for tuning in this evening and watching this broadcast. And also for each and every one of you to know that we will be back here this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We will turn the live feed on about 10 minutes before so that you can tune in and get ready for the service. I don't know how it's going to be this Sunday, but I do know that I'll be here this Sunday so that we will have a fresh truth of God's word for our lives today. And I would just like to leave you with the very last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Listen to this blessing and receive it for yourself right now. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this time right now and for our evening here together. I thank you that wherever my brothers and sisters are listening now, that you encourage them, that they sense your presence is always with them, Lord God, that you show them that they are not alone. No, not alone. You are there right now. And so we just thank you right now by the Holy Spirit that you are making yourself known, you're making yourself real, and that we thank you, Father, that you're keeping us during this time, and we pray, Father, for a quick and swift end to this coronavirus, for us all to be able to come back together real soon to glorify you together as the body of Christ meeting right here at the Christian Service Center in St. Petersburg, Florida. And with that, I say amen, good night, and see you later. God bless you. Bye-bye.